Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Real BS Show, where the B stands for Bill and the S stands for Seth.
That's right, Seth.
Not what you're all thinking. Does that song remind you of anything?
Yes. Typical, traditional song.
For?
New Year's.
Yeah. So, hey, how was your Christmas?
It was excellent. Yours?
Yeah. Well, it's over. That's the good part.
I spent time with family and my son and my parents and my sister.
Yeah,
it was good times. You know,
that's it. I went to my daughter's. I went to my son's and stuffed myself silly. That's the bad part too. Man, oh man, I don't know why I do that. I can't help it. You know, it's just. Whew. Then all of a sudden you're in pain and agony.
That's the truth.
But yeah, it was good. It was good. I ain't got no complaints.
That's good. None.
The weather was kind of nice too. I mean, well, even now it's like today was 50 degrees or better.
Yeah, yeah. Only was it a year or 2 years ago? It was like negatives, you know, and just freezing.
Well, 2 weeks ago it was 10 degrees.
Right.
But. So that's good. You had a good Christmas. I had a good Christmas. It's over. Now we got to get ready for New Year's Day or Eve or what?
Yeah. And it's 2020.
It'll be 2020.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I never thought about this year.
2020. Yeah. Just marching on. But it's like a roll of toilet paper. The more.
It doesn't feel like it's been 20 years.
It seems the more you use, the faster it goes.
Right. I mean, since 2000. I enlisted in the Army when I was in 2000.
Wow.
And so 20 years. I can't imagine being 20 years retiring now from the military. Huh. But, yeah, 20 years. It's a lot of memories thinking about that. You know, like, this is what New Year's is about, right? You know, bringing back memories.
Yeah, what is New Year's about? I mean, auld lang syne. I try to listen to the words. It sounds like they want to forget the past or something.
Right, right.
And I don't think they even talk about the future. They say...
live in the moment?
I don't know. I know. I did look it up, and it kept toast a glass or tip a glass. I don't know. But I think there's a few different versions of the lyrics for that song. But that song's only good for that one night, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of it's really only sung right after the ball drops. And it was Robert Burns that wrote it.
Yeah, yeah.
1788. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he was a Scottish guy?
Yeah, Scottish. Is Scots language.
Sounds Scottish to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's sung at funerals, graduations, and his farewells or endings to other occasions. So it's kind of like, you know, old long since.
Saying goodbye to the past.
Yeah, yeah. Or long, long ago, days gone by, old times, you know? Huh. But, yeah, it's a...
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm sure there's... I dug up a few history lessons about New Year's Day and when New Year's Day even was, you know, and where did it start, you know?
Right.
I don't think the... I think there was a pope there that made it officially January 1st back in the 5th century or 15th century or whatever it was. I don't remember. After the Gregorian guy.
Right.
That was Pope Gregory.
Hmm.
He made a new calendar, Gregorian calendar. And that's what we use today.
Right.
Yeah, there was a Julian calendar before that, and it... kept getting out of whack.
Yeah, I just looked it up. Julius Caesar
prophets.
In 45 BC, New Year's Day was celebrated on January 1st for the first time in history as the Julian calendar and he became a dictator and made it more effective. But other ones reaffirmed it, like the Pope you mentioned, they reaffirmed it and had celebrations around it. But there's been pushback about it. Like you look at different people push back against it. Of course,
well, the Chinese.
And
you know, everybody's. It's all over the map. I mean, they're
right.
The Chinese New Year's is, I think, in the end of January, beginning of February. It'll last for a couple of weeks or something. I don't know.
Right. And it's the you know, the vernal equinox. You know, that is when it used to be celebrated with the.
That was in the spring, like
mid-March,
April. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of.
Well, I got some. I dug up some history lessons, and we could play them, and we'll both learn something.
Okay, that sounds good.
And. Plus I dug up a bunch of old Lang Syne by different people, and some of them are pretty good.
Right.
You know. What about resolutions?
I don't do resolutions.
You don't?
No. I think, you know, I understand why people do. But it's kind of like people that, you know, want to lose weight or quit smoking or quit drinking or whatever it might be. Why not just do it whenever? You know, so that's kind of my mentality. You really have to have a date to set that up by.
Well, it's like me. Every night at midnight is New Year's Eve for me. Every day.
That's funny.
Hey, I made it another day.
Right.
So do you make wishes for... No, I guess you don't do that.
No, not at all.
Huh.
No, I don't do anything like that at all. I mean, do
other people do?
Oh, yeah. People do all the time. They'll sit there and talk about their New Year's resolutions, and I just tell them.
Well, resolutions, but are those wishes, or they're just something they want to accomplish or something?
Yeah, they want to accomplish, but a wish? No, I don't do anything like that either. Do you?
I don't.
I know some people do resolutions.
What is that? What do you do when you wish? Oh, that's on your birthday.
Yeah.
I mean,
make a wish.
To make a wish and blow out the candles.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Okay. That I do. But I ain't had a cake in quite a while, so.
That's a hint, children of Mr. Hinkle.
Yeah, you cut down on the candles. Yeah. I can't blow them all out.
You'll be wheezing.
I'm gasping for air.
Do you like ice cream cake?
Sounds good.
My father's birthday's in roughly a few, probably a couple weeks from now. And it's winter time, right? And one time, and this is relevant to this
time.
They
make ice cream cakes in the winter?
Yeah, they make ice cream cakes. Well, he hates ice cream in the winter. Now, here's the deal. I was like 25 years old. I didn't know that my father, for 25 years, did not like ice cream in the winter. Never knew that. And went and got him a huge ice cream cake, all the jazz. And he wouldn't eat it. I was like, what's going on? I bought this ice cream cake for you. You know, it was all this money spent. And it's like, you don't want any? And then he goes, I don't eat ice cream in the winter.
Like, well, it's just more for you.
Yeah, I know, right? I was like complaining, but I was like just blown away. Like, who doesn't eat ice cream in the winter? That's kind of weird. I don't know.
I never thought about it.
So anyhow, that's something.
All those Dairy Queens and all that, they close down in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard to find ice cream cake, you know? And I went long and far and found that, you know?
Huh.
That stuck with me. That's one thing I wished.
So I knew. So you don't do resolutions.
Right.
I guess I never have either, now that I think about it.
I mean, I'll watch the ball drop. I mean, I'll watch the time, and it's now New Year, because I have to remember.
Yeah,
right,
I used to work at those things, you know,
right.
The sound company.
Right.
The first night Erie and all that jazz,
right.
You know. You had 20 stages set up, and then, you know, everything that... It was done at the park at the midnight there.
Right.
And so we went a lot of years of that kind of stuff, fireworks and everything else.
Right.
So I tell you what, let's... resolutions. I found a thing about resolutions in the history of resolutions. Well, it's the history of New Year's, too.
Right.
Let's play that, and we'll get everybody on the same page.
All right, sounds good.
We'll go from there. Okay.
96 million Americans. About 96 million Americans, or 40% of the U.S. total population. They're going to make a New Year's resolution this year. And some of these commitments are pretty traditional, right? In fact, in 2012, Harris Interactive Poll conducted a study of 3,036 U.S. adults and found that some of the New Year's resolutions, the top ones for the following year of 2013, would be weight loss. improving finance, exercise, getting a new job, eating healthier, managing stress, quitting smoking, a lot of very good commitments. But with 96 million Americans following this cultural tradition, I think it begs the question, where did this come from? How did it become so ubiquitous? What is the history of the New Year's resolution? Now, the history of a New Year's resolution isn't clean, right? It's not just a single timeline. The concept of a new year has sprouted up in so many different cultures that the New Year's resolution doesn't really have one single origin or history. But here are a couple of the major turning points for this tradition. 4,000 years ago, ancient Babylonian times in Mesopotamia, time was different back then. And I don't say time just like culture was different or food. No, I'm saying time itself was different back then. Like the way it was measured was different. A different calendar and a different beginning, a different reason to begin. You see, in the Babylonian calendar, the first month was called Nisannu. And I'm probably butchering the pronunciation of that because I don't know a lot of things. But one thing I do know is that this month, this first month in the Babylonian calendar actually falls on what today would be considered March into April. And why March into April? Why this time period for the beginning of a year? In March and April is actually the planting season for barley. You see, crops were so important that in some ways, literally time itself began and revolved around crops. You know, in this era, there was a festival. One of the first New Year's celebrations that involved a New Year's resolution was the Akitu Festival. And it celebrated the planting of barley, and it celebrated the supreme god Marduk and his crown prince, some other gods. But what's important to the history of New Year's resolution, I guess to us today, is that this is where those promises started. Babylonians would actually make promises to the gods and actually take this as a resetting moment to return borrowed tools and supplies, equipment to their neighbors. You know, it was more of a trade economy back then. And so this would make sense for a reset. And for those promises, if they kept their words to the gods, well, great fortune would bestow them. So a new year starts with new life, a plant, a hope, a seed. But how do we get to January? How do we come about to January 1st? Well, January and the concept of January, even as a word, started in 46 BC, where Julius Caesar has a problem. You see, in 46 BC, the average Roman citizen in the empire didn't know what day it was. Because of the vastness of the empire, there were so many pockets, and there were so many different civilizations and cities that it really involved a lot of different calendars because time was measured differently and people didn't know when celebrations were supposed to be the further and further you got away from the city. And so Julius Caesar in 46 BC decides to standardize on what is considered the Julian calendar. And they start with January. But this word, January, where does it come from? It's sourced from, the etymology of this word is from Janus, the god of new beginnings. How fitting for the new year. And if you see imagery of Janus, he is often depicted with having two faces, one looking backwards in time and one looking ahead into the future. And it's so symbolic to not only the Roman interpretation of time and a calendar, but certainly perhaps even a human reflection, that we look back on what we've accomplished, perhaps even our failures, and then we also look forward to new hope. As for New Year's resolutions themselves, well, Roman officials would actually make these pledges, these promises on January 1st, that date, to honor the emperor, to show that loyalty. And at the citizen level, average everyday people would exchange fruit and honey, these gifts, and they would make these promises much to the gods as they did in ancient Mesopotamia. So important was this day that the courts actually closed for half of the day, so it was really considered a holiday for the Roman Empire. As the New Year's resolution continues to spread across the world, The Julian calendar is widely used, but certainly not the only one. And if we want to reflect on how we got to today, well, we actually follow in most of the world what's called the Gregorian calendar. In 1582, Pope Gregory the 13th standardized a calendar that is most widely used in society and across the world today. If you were to ask the average person, though, at least in America, what is one of the symbols that marks a new year, certainly the calendar is a piece of that, and understanding the history from an ancient perspective is something that is a curiosity. But I think most people would actually just think about Times Square and the ball drop. So let's look into that. Celebration in this area actually started in about 1904. There was a big celebration next to the Trinity Church near Wall Street, and this was something that was already established, but the New York Times, the actual newspaper that Times Square is named after, wanted to draw attention to their new building, the tallest building in New York City at the time. So in a promotional effort, they actually moved this celebration from near the Trinity Church to Times Square. And since 1907, the iconic ball has dropped from one Times Square building. Why a ball, though? Well, it's actually a time ball, which is a now obsolete time signaling device. Okay, so imagine back even in the 1800s, you're on a ship and you need to reset your clock and your time, right? There's no digital age at this point. You've got to kind of do this certainly manually. And as you're crossing a port, they would have a giant wooden ball that would drop at a certain time, usually around 1 p.m., and then you could sync your clock, your calendar, to that time and stay on course. The very first time ball in Times Square was actually over 700 pounds, made of wood and iron. It had 125-watt light bulbs on it, and there have been 7 different versions of this ball at Times Square. For 100 years, the ball has dropped, over 100 years, and it's worked every single time, except twice. 2 times the ball did not drop, and it was a voluntary reason. Those years were 1942 and 1943. Now remember, the time ball as a concept is to signal the time for sailors passing by. Well, Times Square being such a large building in New York City, it was kind of a beacon, kind of a lighthouse for passing ships. But in 1942 and 1943, they had this voluntary dim out of this light because they were afraid. Americans were afraid that there were German subs in the Atlantic Ocean. And so this was the only 2 years that the ball didn't drop in Times Square. That celebration continues into this year, and new traditions are created along the way. For example, confetti wish. Now, confetti wish is something that happens in Times Square as well. You know, all the confetti drops, but prior to New Year's Eve and the celebration, they offer the ability for passerbys, visitors, tourists, people from New York City, the opportunity to write a wish, a hope, even a New Year's resolution on little pieces of confetti. Those wishes and hopes are put into over a ton, over 2,000 pounds of other confetti that would ultimately be dropped on New Year's Eve into New Year's Day. New Year's resolutions come with hope. It comes with the turning of a calendar. It comes with the concept that perhaps we can get better. That this marker, even if it is somewhat relative, right? That it is a man-made construct, whether it's in January or March and April or whenever the year starts, it at least gives us a point of reflection. And I think that's incredibly important about the New Year's resolution. And as we reflect, I think it's important to understand how we can get better by looking at some studies that have been done about the New Year's resolution itself. In 1989, distinguished professor Jonathan Norcross would do a study on New Year's resolutions specifically in America. You see, he put out this advertisement just on TV about, you know, just calling out to folks saying, hey, what is your New Year's resolution? And we want to kind of track the success of it and see how it goes. And because of this advertisement, over 300 respondents call in into this line in 1989. And they begin to do a study, a survey of basically how successful people are in this pursuit of this goal. Participants were telephoned for structured interviews at 7 different intervals. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, and 2 years. At each interval, researchers solicited those resolvers, those folks who were making the resolutions. Just on a 4-point scale, they asked, how is it going? Have you totally failed, mostly failed, most succeeded, or totally succeeded? So there are two principal things that they discovered. Research findings suggested that someone is 10 times more likely to be successful by making a New Year's resolution than having the identical goal with similar motivations. That just being centered around this time would actually make it much more likely to succeed. What I think is more important than even that, even more important than a 10 times multiple, is that the people who reported that they did succeed, they also reported that they slipped up, that they failed, they made mistakes along the way on an average of 14 times in order to get to that success. In fact, 71% of the people who said they succeeded said that these slip-ups were actually important pieces to learn about themselves, important failures to adjust their plan and to get better in the pursuit of this goal. So as you look into the next year, as you contemplate a New Year's resolution, or perhaps even a promise, I ask you to think about the thought of failure, that it may be a part of the history of your New Year's resolution. It may be part of the process of your new commitment, but maybe that's just part of what it takes. Maybe those failures can help us learn, as Jonathan Norcross's study suggests. And as you perhaps solidify this commitment, I challenge you. I challenge you to make a video blog once a week, once a day, for the entire year, to track your progress until that promise is committed, until it is actually completed. Because one of the benefits of the study is that Norcross did was the fact that somebody even called every week, 3 weeks, month, right? You know, that's actually something that helps keep us focused. So perhaps a video blog could help you. Perhaps that can be part of the history of your New Year's resolution. I encourage you to share it with us, or maybe even just keep it private, but I encourage you to take the step to hold yourself accountable, because sometimes we need that. Don't get caught up too much in the hype. Remember that when it comes to time and a calendar, the beginning of the year is somewhat arbitrary. Whether it's March, whether it's January, sort of a man-made construct. What's most important, though, is that we take this energy and we use it. If it's going to be there, if we're going to think of this as a turning of the page, why not? Why not take that momentum and do something positive with it? We hope only the best for you, your New Year's resolution, your promises in the new year and every day.
All right. Welcome back to the Real BS Show.
The Real BS.
Yeah. Nothing but the finest. BS. Bill and Seth is what it stands for.
That's right. No BS going on.
Not
with
bull
that
stuff.
Name. No, not bull stuff.
Hey, all right. So New Year's Eve. Think back. Even now. I mean, what do you do today? I mean, do you celebrate New Year's Eve? What do you do New Year's Eve?
Oh, yeah. I try to get
You're a lot younger than me, so I mean.
I don't go out and party or anything, but I try to get my son to stay up as best as he can. He's 13, but and I try to get him to stay up and enjoy the change of season, you know, the change of time, you know, and you know, the ball drop and all that jazz.
So it all centers around the ball drop.
Yeah. And then it's like, okay, you can go to bed now. But, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's kind of fun. You get some food and snacks.
I used to watch, who was that guy that, Dick Clark.
Yep.
Yeah. I never did like any of that. You know, I just seemed so stupid to me.
Yeah. It's kind of fizzle, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they still have it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Easily, yeah.
Now, I used to play a lot back in the day.
Right.
You know, and New Year's Eve was always, you got double or triple what you'd normally get paid.
Right.
You know, but I don't know. It was just as crazy then as it was every other weekend, so.
Right.
But I don't know. Clubs and things had their own parties, you know, private kind of things for their members and stuff, and I don't know. It was always a good payday, that's for sure.
Right.
Auld Lang Syne. I don't ever remember doing that song.
Really? Yeah.
Maybe we did, but I don't remember it.
I, you know, when I was in the Army, of course, we went out and partied and stuff like that, but I haven't did that in years. You know, you get some shrimp cocktail or something like that and just some wine and, you know, it's that kind of occasion, just kind of a, you know.
And wasn't there some kind of food, not garbage, cabbage.
Cabbage, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Was that sauerkraut.
A lot of people get sauerkraut going. I don't eat pork, so but some people do sauerkraut on, like, beef and stuff like that.
Remember that. I don't know where or why, but I don't know. It's just a big nothing for me. I really don't. I probably don't even stay up and watch anything unless there's a football game on or something.
Right.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's just, you know, there's a lot of people that do go out and watch the ball drop. I don't understand. This is just me, but the people that do, like, Times Square, they go out in Times Square and they'll wait the whole day to get their spot and stand there in the freezing cold. And, like, if you can't, were you going to go to the bathroom or something? Where are you going to go to the bathroom? You can't lose your spot. So it's like, you know.
They got Porta John set up somewhere, but, man.
You move your spot, though, you lose it. You know, it's like. Holy cow, like, I don't know, that's a little bit odd to me, you know, that people would be that motivated to...
It always seemed like a dangerous night, you know, you just didn't want to be out that night because there's too many whack attacks driving around. And,
right. A lot of drunks, you know.
Yeah. I know there was several times where people were killed and just down the street from where we were playing. Matter of fact, the French Quarter.
Yep.
Just down the road a ways, it wasn't far. It was during the day.
Right.
You know, it was 4 or 5 hours before, and totally innocent people died because of drunk drivers. But, I don't know. I never got excited about New Year's Eve. I don't know why.
No, it's cold. It's like, I don't know. It's just one of those things it's nice to stay up for. I'm usually up till 1 anyways. I'm a night owl. I also wake up early too, but it's just, I don't sleep much. So it's just, I'm up for it. I'm up and awake. And
yeah, I don't know. I can't sit there and watch a ball drop. It's just like, what am I, you know, it just never enticed me.
Right.
The fireworks, I like to watch that maybe, you know, but...
Right.
You know, and then it's always different everywhere, you know, because the hour changes, you know. So you see it in New York, then you see it in St. Louis, and then you see it in San Francisco, and then maybe Sydney, Australia or someplace.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe they're first. I don't remember. But, I just didn't rouse my feathers. Well, let's. What do we got next we could share? Some things that maybe you didn't know about?
Yeah.
I saw something like that. You want to play that? Let's play that for everybody and see if there's some things in there that maybe folks didn't even know.
Right. That sounds good.
Okay.
For many people around the world, January 1st offers an opportunity to make a fresh start with a new year. But we bet you didn't know that over the last 4,000 years, New Year's wasn't always celebrated on the 1st of January. The original New Year's celebration, the massive Babylonian religious festival of Akitu, was held every year around the spring equinox. In 46 BC, Julius Caesar introduced a new calendar that was synced to the sun instead of the moon, officially moving New Year's celebrations from March 1st to January 1st. In the Middle Ages, the Christian Church did away with many of the ancient Roman festivals because of their pagan roots. As a result, New Year's was celebrated on various dates throughout medieval Europe. Finally, in 1582, Pope Gregory XIII overhauled the calendar system again. The Gregorian calendar, which we still use today, restored January 1st as New Year's Day. Even today, some countries and cultures follow a lunar, not solar calendar, and hold their New Year's celebrations at different times of the year. Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, and the first day of Muharram, the start of the Islamic calendar year, are both celebrated in the fall. And the Chinese New Year, which lasts for a whole month, begins in late January or early February. New Year's traditions also vary from country to country. In Spain, people eat 12 grapes in the seconds leading up to midnight. Other cultures also eat special foods for New Year's. Greeks eat ring-shaped cakes with silver or gold coins baked inside. In China, a dumpling represents hope for an auspicious new year. And in Japan, long buckwheat noodles symbolize long life. Since 1904, crowds have packed New York's Times Square for one of the most famous New Year's traditions of all, the dropping of the ball. At midnight, hundreds of thousands of people enjoy the mesmerizing kaleidoscopic effect with nearly 16 million vivid colors and billions of patterns. From champagne and fireworks to resolutions and fresh starts, New Year's has always been many things to many people, and it has a long and colorful history that we bet you didn't know.
And this is the Real BS Show. Did you learn anything?
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. There's all this history, you know?
I know. I didn't know any of that till we started doing a little investigation here. Let's just play a nice song that's the same old Lang Syne. I heard that song by a while back.
Right.
Probably in the 80s. Dan Fogelberg?
Yep.
I don't think it had anything to do with New Year's, but it was looking back. It was looking back. So let's just play that song and kind of mellow things out, and we'll come back and jump into something new.
Okay, sounds good.
Met my old lover in the grocery store. The snow was falling Christmas Eve. I stole behind her in the frozen foods, and I touched her on the sleeve. She didn't recognize the face at first, but then her eyes flew open wide. She went to hug me and she spilled her purse, and we laughed until we cried. Sure, if I saw God. as I turn to make my way back home. The snow turned into rain.
This is the Real BS Show. Let's play another song. Yeah. You got one?
Yeah, I got Jeff Buckley. What's the name of it?
New Year's Prayer?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Real BS Show, our New Year's Eve, New Year's Day 2020 show.
Right, 2020. It's crazy.
It's kind of interesting. A lot of facts I didn't know.
Right.
But any wishes, any last thoughts or summaries of any wishes for the new year?
Oh, sure. You know,
the songs all talk about getting rid of the old, you know. Well, forget the old.
Bring in the new. Is it worth remembering is what the song is saying. And it's like there are some memories I'd like to keep, you know. There's some that I'd like to throw away. Yeah. But, you know, I hope that you do well and you stay healthy and I stay healthy and my son stays healthy and your kids stay healthy.
I hope we all make it to the 2021.
Yeah. I mean.
Oh, that's a nice wish.
Oh, sure. And I hope everybody. You know, even though some people may not do resolutions, maybe they have some purpose in life. If you have no purpose in life, then kind of like a ship without a sail, you know, it's like, where are you going?
Yeah, wherever the wind blows you.
Right. And it's like, you know, sometimes you go through a storm and you know, you kind of need some sails and kind of a rudder to keep it going straight, you know. Yeah. So a purpose does that, you know. But how about you?
Well, me, I don't know. I wish everybody good health because that's really the most important thing. I mean, you can wish everybody in the world money, but if your health isn't there, then what good's the money?
Right. What's the sense of the money? And if your family, you know, family's another important thing to me too. You know, like, you know, that can disappear quick. You know, and so I enjoy my time now with family. You know, and I hope others do too. You know.
Well, it's family and friends, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah, friends, definitely, yeah.
I mean, not everybody deserves to be friends, but...
Sure.
You know, and bad health is just terrible. Just, and if I had a wish for everybody that no more pain.
Right.
You know, do away with the pain for a year. Just a year, you know. Just let's try it for a year. Nobody in jail, nobody in the hospitals, you know, just shut them all down and everybody be happy and healthy.
Right.
See what happens. Then in 2021, if it's doesn't go right, then we'll go back to our old system.
Right.
How's that sound? Bad chance of that, huh? I could be mayor of the world, right?
Yeah, I mean, going along with what we said before in our shows about being grateful, you know, like there's also, you know, helping others, you know, that's something it's not easy to do. It's hard to help others sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's something, I think is that everyone can strive for. And I look forward to doing, you know, is trying to help others, you know, ones that deserve it, let's say, you know, that need help.
Well, that's kind of hard to figure.
That's very subjective, yeah. But, you know, there's ones out there that really do need help. And
you just go with the flow, I guess.
Right. But, yeah, it's what's this next one we have? What's this next song?
Well, let's say goodbye to everybody, good night, and we'll see you next year, I guess. And what was that?
That was a chair.
a can of pickles just popped there. You know, got them out of the can.
Peanut butter over there.
Yeah, let's just, you know, the old joke, we'll see you next year. Well, it's pretty true
now.
That's
right.
Because we won't be doing this again until next year.
You'll have 2020 vision.
Yeah, right. I already got 2030 vision. What's better, 2015?
2015, yeah.
Yeah, I can see through walls.
That's right, see through walls.
All right, so let's play a real nice New Year's Eve song, and we'll say goodbye to everybody and wish everybody happiness and health.
Yes, that sounds good.
Okay, Seth, you too.
Same to you.
Be careful.
I'm always careful.
All right.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old lang syne? For old lang syne, my dear, for old.
of kindness yet for auld lang syne. And here's a hand, my trusty friend, that gives a hand to thine. We'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne.
For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne.
We'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old